Welcome back to the High Functioning Disaster and to part three of my conversation with Jacintha Field. We're talking about authenticity, friendship dynamics, and how to spot the high functioning but hurting child, the one who looks fine on the outside but is struggling inside, and what adults can do about it. Let's dive back in. So I want to shift gears a little bit, and you were just talking about friendships, but I'm wondering if you could share a bit more about how kids don't need perfect parents, rather they need parents who are present.
Yeah.
And kind of what that looks like what does presence look like when life is messy and maybe even breaking down? What is that like? And have you, I think you have been in that sort of situation, and I think that you can speak from experience. So what can parents do to be present for their children, even when life is messy for them?
So studies have shown that if you spend even 20 minutes with your child and give them wholehearted attention, going into their world, whatever that might be roller skating, it might be surfing, it might be knitting, it might be gaming, whatever it might be. If you give them 20 minutes of undivided attention and allow them to have control, that will completely change their behavior. So we obviously want to give them a lot more than 20 minutes, but that's where we start. We start at that 20-minute mark. And that allows a child to have control in their life, especially when we separate, etc. Children lose complete and utter control out of their life. And sometimes without even separation, they feel lost. So it's really ensuring that we allow our kids to have a voice and we mirror the behavior to them of how we're feeling and be really authentic and open with how we're feeling, as we talked about earlier, and making sure that they understand that it's not them that's the problem, it's stuff going on within us, because life is a roller coaster of emotions. We're up, we're down, we're up, we're down, we're up, we're down. And that's okay. You know, it's okay to be up and down. It's life. And so riding the waves together is really important. And even saying, like, I feel disappointed, I'm going to get a journal and I'm going to write in that journal because I need to move through some big stuff that's happening in my body. And as a parent, you need to have self-love. Like if your whole entire existence is about the to-do lists, the waking up in the morning and you've got, you know, you got to get lunches ready and then you've got to get breakfast and then you've got to get them out of the door and they've got to get their uniform on and then, you know, you finish that and you go straight to work and after work they get home and then you've got to make them lunch. And if you are of service to your children 100% of the time, you're going to end up resentful. And so you miss the joys that the kids bring into your life. So making sure that you find things in your life that really light up your cup, which is why I'm in Torquay this week. Like I said to my son, hey, I just need some time to myself. I said, it's got nothing to do. You haven't done anything wrong. I'm exhausted. I've been sick for a while. And I think I just need some time for myself. And he said to me, hey, mummy, that's okay. I said, how are you feeling about me going? He goes, that's all right, mummy. I get it. You need some time to yourself. And I said, yeah, I do. And so we mirror that to our kids as well, where they can say, hey, I need some time to myself. Like I can't go to this place. Because if we are pulling our children around with us the whole weekend, but not giving them any choice into where they want to go or what they want to do, I mean, if they're at sporting events all week and then they are busy all weekend, where's their rest time? Where's your rest time? And so we've got to make sure that everybody's needs are met in the household. And I suggest to parents to sit down in a group at dinner table and ask what everyone's needs are. Like, what do you need in your life that is going to help you? Do you need to... My son loves staying at home. I'm an Energizer bunny. I don't love being at home. I love being out. I love being on the beach. I love being active. He's the complete opposite of me. So he would love to just stay home and just chill. And so I've had to really fill into that and not do too much in our life because he needs a lot of rest. And so it's going through what everyone's needs are. What is the person? What do they need? Do they need the beach? Do they need activities? Do they need their friends? Do they need quiet time? Do they need more connection time with you? I'm really big on yes days in practice. I'll say to the parents, just give a kid a yes day. Like, you don't need to go as extravagant as the movie, but, you know, give them a time limit or a money limit, or maybe it's just riding your bikes around where they get to choose where to go. And so it's allowing everybody in the household to have choice and to make sure that they're showing up as their best selves.
I love that. I think that you said doing a yes day, and I think that that is really important, not just for children, but for us. Sometimes we don't give ourselves permission as adults to have what we need. So. Yeah. Like, what sort of advice or what would you say to anyone listening who needs permission to give to themselves, to be good enough, to let go of that perfection? Like, what would you say to them?
I would first of all say, what did you used to do as a child that really lit up your soul? And go back to that. So it could be knitting. Could be sitting outside sunbaking. It could be anything that you know really lights up your soul. Start there. It could be even having a cup of tea out in the sun every day, like whatever it means to you. The second thing is that you are a better mother, father, carer to your children and to your partner when you show up as your best self. So making sure that if your cup is lit up, you are such a nicer human to everyone around you. And ensuring that you understand that you need space and you need time to be able to fill up your cup. And then I ask you the question of, if your child gets married and has a child and is exhausted, what would your advice be to them? Because you're mirroring that behavior now as a parent to them. And if you're constantly on empty, grumpy in the house, you know, really resentful, you're not being the best person that you can possibly be in those moments, because you think you need to be there for your child, but they want the best version of you. So if you ask your child, hey, I need to have some time for myself, you're giving that person permission, that child permission to have time for their self. So you're mirroring that behavior to them. When you become a parent, you don't need to completely let go of your entire life. It may look different, but hold on to what you had before you became a parent. Otherwise, you may become resentful to everybody else around you without even realizing.
Yeah, that's really powerful. What do you consider the biggest myths about resilient kids that you'd love to just bust open?
To become resilient, you have to feel. You don't build resilience by not feeling and ignoring what's going on and pretending that it's not there. You build resilience by feeling into what's there. And the toughen up, boys don't cry, don't be a boy and cry, those kind of words are so damaging to children because you're telling them not to feel. You're telling a child what they're feeling inside is not what you should be feeling. You should be toughen up and, you know, be a man. My dad said that once to my child, be a real man. And I was like, no. We're not going to say that. That's not the language we're going to use here. And I had to like unravel that very quickly. And he meant the best. Like, it's not as if he meant what he was saying. I mean, he did, but he doesn't know like I do. And somebody being resilient by shutting up and not having their voice is not them being resilient. It's them escaping and running away and hiding. That's not what we want. We want resilient kids that allow themselves to feel if they need to feel and move through whatever they need to move through. We will often say to my dad, hey, it's okay to cry. Like, there's no problems with crying. Like, you know, it's okay to feel our emotions. And we teach my dad's generation about feelings and emotions. Like, I have 100 family members. I've got 36 aunties and uncles, and they all follow me on social media and just think I'm so weird because I talk about feelings and emotions all the time, and they're just so triggered by it. And they're my target market for everything that I do. You know, if I can get more people talking about their feelings, and because if we don't talk about our feelings and emotions, it manifests in our body, and that's when we get sick, and that's when we have mental health issues. So the more that we can just talk about it, the better. So when it comes to being resilient, it doesn't mean getting over it. It means feeling it.
Yeah, definitely. Sort of like you have to go through it. You can't go around it. Whatever it is that you feel, whatever, you know, like the big feelings like grief and loss are what come to mind. You can't go around those. You absolutely have to go through that process.
Yeah.
And that is very messy. So, yeah, I love that. And that's how you definitely become resilient is through feeling. And
it's through feeling.
I appreciate you sharing that. So the next thing I want to talk about is high functioning, but hurting. And then like how kids, like adults, can perform as okay while struggling deeply, and then tools to recognize the hidden pain and give kids space to release emotions safely. How can children be given this space by their teachers, other relatives, or, you know, like even parents who maybe aren't aware? Like, what are the signs to look for?
I am the queen of this, of showing up looking like I'm high functioning when I'm broken inside. I'm very good at it. I guess I move things through a lot quickly now than I used to. Like, I can just kind of, I'm very good at putting on a performance. So if I walk into a room, I can be like, okay, I'm on. Like, I need to act like I'm okay, even though I'm broken inside. So this is a really good question for me. Because I've grown up with Brené Brown, which is vulnerability and shame. So I can talk about my feelings and emotions to people and be really honest and authentic, but a lot of people can't receive it because they don't want to get vulnerable. They don't want to talk about feelings. I had a friend once, actually after that friendship broke up that I spoke about, and I have her conversation taped because I had my Otter on at the time, and I've listened to it a few times, and she said, no one wants to talk about feelings, Jay. No one wants to talk about them. I'm like, well, I do, and I actually know a lot of people that do as well. So kids are very good at this as well. So a child will have an elastic band wrapped around them at school. You know, when they go to the grandparents and the grandparents say, oh, they were just so perfect. Or the teacher will be like, oh my goodness, they're just so wonderful. I had my teacher once say to me, oh, I wish every kid was like Axel. He's just so happy. I'm like, whoa, okay. He is, but he doesn't show his true self to everybody. He shows his true self to me because I'm his safe person. And what happens with kids is that when they feel safe enough to let out all their big stuff, you as the safe person are the one that cops it. So they might be perfectly behaved at school or with their grandparents or with a family member, and then you're like, what happened? Because that elastic band snaps and their true self comes out. And it's really confusing. You know, it's really confusing for us, but it's actually a backhanded compliment that that child feels so safe with you to be their wholehearted self. And so it's just allowing that unraveling to happen when it happens and sitting there in it with them, try and get them into nature, try and get them, you know, to the beach or a park or whatever that you can possibly do. Just allow them space to ground their self and allow them to let out what they need to let out. And don't try and fix their problems. Don't sit there and say, oh, just listen. Just hold space and listen. And you can ask and say, would you like me to give you a solution? They might say yes, they might say no. But if we do too much for our kids, we're robbing them of the opportunity for them to feel into themselves. So allow a child to process what they need to in their own way and in their own time, not on your schedule, not on your timeline. The time that kids will unravel the most, Sasha, is right before bed, when the parent is absolutely cooked and exhausted and is so tired from the day. That's the part where a child will unravel. And so it's knowing that 15 minutes, half an hour, maybe it might even be an hour, to give your child that space in that time to unravel. It's not when you have energy at the end of school, they don't want to talk then. They're like, I've been talking all day, I just want to have some quiet time. But when they've had that space, that's when the unraveling can start. And it's just something to be aware of.
Yeah, that's really powerful. And I think helpful, because that is very true, that there are often bedtime issues for people. You know, a lot of friends and family members who have struggled at bedtime, their children, you know, like having meltdowns, tantrums and whatnot during bedtime.
Yeah. And it's just something to be aware of, and allowing that space, like have a connection piece, whether that's wrestling before bed or maybe playing a game of Uno. Sometimes that's what the child needs, is connection, or maybe they need to run around the house a few times or run around the block. Allow them space to ask them what they need in those moments.
Yeah. So what does your work with kids reflect, or how does it reflect the broader reality many adults face too, appearing put together while hiding deep pain? And then when you hit your mission of reaching 100,000 kids by 2027, what do you hope will look different in the world because of it?
I hope through storytelling, we really help people understand themselves and that realize that we're all broken. Everyone's broken, and that's okay to be broken. It's like that yin and yang symbol where we've all got parts of ourselves that we need to work on. And the work that we do with Happy Souls Kids through what we're building, we want to reach 100,000 kids and families because we want them to understand that life isn't always easy, and sometimes there's going to be some ups and some downs. But if I had the tools as an adult, as a child that I now have as an adult, my life would be so different. And through storytelling, we really relate to children and families to help them understand that they're normal. Their situations are normal. You know, sometimes we're angry, sometimes we're sad, sometimes we have things within ourselves that we don't want to explore, and we want to ensure that we light up our cup. Yeah, that we light up all of our cups. And there's tools that even athletes or people of influence use, whether that's meditation or maybe that's prayer or maybe that's walking their dog or maybe that's how they deal with family or whatever it might be. We've all got something inside of us that helps us deal with our big stuff. And so it's just giving people choices to say, hey, an athlete gets to where they get to because they've worked really hard to get there. When you see an athlete win a gold medal, you go, oh my gosh, wow, they're so talented. And yeah, absolutely, they are so talented. You are so right. But you haven't seen the journey that they've had to go through to get there. So we tell the behind the scenes of people's lives to be able to help children understand. And so a child will say, oh, there's nothing wrong with me. I've just got a big feeling. Or, oh, you know, Archie Thompson, who's a soccer player who we filmed, Archie has some really hard days too. Or this is what he does when he loses a game. Or, you know, oh, these are some breathwork practices that he uses. Maybe I should try them too. So by reaching 100,000 kids by 2027, we want to help kids understand that what they're feeling is normal.
Feelings are normal.
Yeah.
And I love it. I love that you're working to normalize that we all feel. And we all feel a range of emotions about anything.
Mm.
And we're all different. Mm. So one person may feel one way about something and another person may feel completely different. And that's okay. We're allowed to feel what we feel, right?
Mm. Yeah, well, every emotion's valid. And this is why we can never go into somebody else's experience, because you haven't had their journey. You haven't had their experience. I had a friend that divorced, and she's like, oh, I've divorced, you know, you just got to get over it. I'm like, but my divorce has like 15,000 layers that have taken me a lot longer to move through. Our situations are not the same. They're not the same. You haven't had my same experience or my life journey or the issues that I've had in life or abandonment or traumas. And I think that's what we need to understand, is that we don't know other people's stories. And so that's why we need to treat people with love and kindness, as well as setting boundaries and moving away from people when we need to, when they don't feel safe.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. My final question for you is, what's one thing that you want parents or really anyone to know about healing?
That it isn't linear. That we've all got parts of us that we need to constantly work on. The people in our lives that show up are the ones that actually help us to heal. And when we understand that, that's really big growth. So your partner might drive you insane, your kids might drive you insane, but if you can look at it from a different perspective and say, they are here to help me heal, that then gives them that beautiful element of healing that we all need. And you're going to have ups and downs in life. The book that I was talking about earlier, Charlie Goldsmith, he always says things are happening to you, not for you. And you're like, eek. Like, I don't understand what that means. Sometimes my son just had a really big accident recently and I was like, why is this happening? Why is this happening? And when I looked at it from a different lens, I realized that there was some parts of that were really beautiful. We never stop healing. You know, we're always healing different parts of us, but when you can take accountability, when you can really acknowledge the fact that you make mistakes in life, we all do, that's where the growth comes from. That's the beautiful growth that we've got. The moments of pure joy where we say, what is this moment trying to teach me?
Yeah. I love that. And so was the quote that you said was that things are not happening for us, they're happening to us, or the other way around?
Things are happening for us. I'm just going, oh no, I can't get that one out right now. Things are happening for us, not to us.
Yeah. So that brings to mind when running late. So like you're trying to get out of the house and maybe, I don't know, you know, you put your keys where they belong, but then you couldn't find them. They weren't there, but something just bizarre. Dang
life for me.
And now you're late coming out of the door and you get in the car and you're on the way and you see this massive accident on the road, traffic accident. And you think, wow, if I'd have been on time, I could have been part of that.
Or you could have been in it.
Yes. Mm. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. The way that I move through those things is that I will say everything is always absolutely unfolding perfectly. And so if there's a car accident, it's just surrendering to that and accepting the fact that you're going to be late. It's that surrender. When we can surrender to our circumstances in life, I think that's where we see the biggest growth. Is just feeling into the surrender and saying, you know, this is really big for co-parenting and separation, is accepting things for exactly how they are and where they are is so important for us, because things will happen in life, such as a car accident when you're running late, and it's how we show up to that circumstance and how we show up to that and our reaction to things is so important. I've learned to not be as reactive as I used to be. So even though in that moment I'd be like, oh my God, I'm so frustrated, you know, oh, I'm running late. You just surrender and into it said, okay, well, there's a reason that I need to be late and that's okay. I had a friend once that would just absolutely hound people for being 2 minutes late. You're not respecting my time. And I find that really hard because I am a late person. Like I don't want to be, but I am. I try and get better over time, but sometimes things happen, you know, sometimes things happen and a response to somebody saying I'm late, like it changes your whole mood. If you're going to see a person and you've lost your keys and you're driving the car and it's really like you feel anxiety, you feel deep shame to be late for that person, but it's the responsiveness from that person that's important. If you say, hey, I've left my phone at home, or I'm in an accident, if they come back to you and say, hey, that's okay, take your time, it's good, that releases that anxiety out of you because they accept the fact that things happen. But there are people in life that don't accept those things and, oh, well, I'm not doing it now, I'm canceling. And the way that people react to things is really important because it changes our entire perception of self as well. And we don't want to be on the road being anxious because we're going to disappoint somebody and be really late. That's how accidents happen. You know, if we can just kind of sit in and say, all right, well, what is this trying to show me? What's happening here? Is it teaching me that I need to be better at putting my keys a different place? Is it teaching me that I need to allow space to get places? Because if accidents do happen, you know, there's beauty in every situation that happens. We just need to find that beauty and surrender to acceptance. Like this is where I am. Like I found it really hard when I separated because I wanted somebody else to be something that they weren't. And I spent a lot of time trying to get that person to show up in a way that I wanted, but that's not who they wanted to be. And so I had to radically accept the fact that this is who you want to be and I'm okay with that. And then I released a lot of anger from my body. When we see people for truly who they are, like not who we want them to be, that's when the biggest growth and change can happen.
I really thank you for your vulnerability and your wisdom today. And your honesty and your heart. What I love about this conversation is how you've reminded us that healing is messy. It's not linear, but it's also possible.
Yeah.
It's for us and our children. So you've shown us that play isn't just fun. It's one of the most powerful tools we have for connecting and for emotional safety. So if you want to learn more about Jacintha's work, check out Happy Soul Kids and follow along with her mission to reach 100,000 children by 2027. I'll have all the links waiting in the show notes. And if this conversation resonated with you, please share it with someone who needs to hear they're not alone in the mess, because that's what this space is about, permission, not perfection. Thank you very much, Jacintha.
Thanks so much for creating this space, Sasha. We really appreciate you having these deep conversations with us. I think it's so important.
Yes, thank you. Huge thanks to Jacintha Field for this conversation and the generosity she had with her time. If this helped you, please share it with a caregiver, teacher, a parent, whoever needs it. Links and resources are in the show notes. New episodes are every Monday. Come as you are. That's enough. Oh, and one last thing. The content shared on the High Functioning Disaster is for informational and conversational purposes only and is not intended as professional, medical, or mental health advice. Everyone's situation is unique, and what we talk about here may not apply to your specific circumstances. Please do what's right for you and always consult with a qualified professional for medical, mental health, financial, or legal guidance. You take care of you, boo. See you next time.